Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
After less than 9 months in charge, Paul Clement has been sacked as manager of Reading Football Club, with the Royals just a place above the Championship relegation zone. Welcome to a special Tarlehurst End podcast episode to pick through this news. I'm your host, Ollie Allen, and I'm joined by the Working Papers' Tom Crocker. I'll start with the big one, Tom. Was this the right decision?
Oh, that's a big one. I think the results sort of speak to themselves. The timing of it may be a little strange. We all thought this might have been coming a few weeks ago. I think it was obviously coming to a bit of a head, and he sort of saved his job. I think you said on air a few times maybe they'd done just about enough to keep his job a few times now. Yeah. Obviously, you're going into this Christmas period, a lot of difficult games, and you thought maybe after that they might reassess it. But yeah, I think the job he did quite well to keep them up last season, Clement, but I think being level with the relegation zone at this point in the season is simply not good enough based on the results. I think the performances were starting to turn a little bit, but they didn't win back-to-back games, and he's been there for, like you say, 9 months and no back-to-back wins in that time. So just in terms of the results, it's clearly not been good enough. We'll wait and see, obviously, who they get in and whether that improves things then. But yeah, whether it's the right decision, I guess. Yeah, I think you probably have to say just about. It's always a bit of a shame. You look at it and you always hope they can turn it around. The bit of stability you hope might be the answer, but that's not really the way it goes, and especially in the Championship. I think it's general lifespan, a year, if that, I think, in the Championship. So, yeah, it's something that's been on the cards for a few weeks. I thought maybe you'd done just about enough to get a few more games, get the Christmas period, and try and maybe reshape the squad a bit in January, but obviously, I'm sure we'll touch on the new CEO's come in this week and got his own ideas. And if they're going to make the change, I suppose now's as good a time as any, really. It's sort of one game a week for a few weeks, so the new manager will have a bit of time on the training ground. And yeah, so depending on who the next man is, it'll be easier to answer that question whether it's the right decision. But I think the results haven't been good enough over the last, ever since Clement came in, really. I think last season, you can sort of say it went okay, did all you had to do. But the last few months in particular, the results haven't been good enough. So he's ultimately paid the price for that, and yeah, I think it was probably just going to be a matter of time unless they started winning, which didn't seem to be happening.
We ran a poll on Twitter this morning, sort of asking whether it was the right decision. At the time of recording, 65% of people said yes, it was the right decision. 12% went with no, and 22% were unsure. And that's, I think, potentially maybe a little bit lower than I was expecting. But as you mentioned, performances potentially have sort of picked up in recent weeks, and Clement seemed to be maybe getting back on track, but it is really sort of hard to argue with that 23.3% win ratio from his 30 games in charge, which I think, as far as I can tell, is the worst win ratio for any Reading manager in the modern era. That's 7 wins, 8 draws and 15 defeats from 30 games. And, you know, last season, obviously, he came in, we got 2 wins from his first 3 games, and you know, against QPR and against Preston. And those wins probably, you know, kept us up. And obviously, we took it to the final day, and got that 0-0 draw against Cardiff. And, you know, obviously, of course, the struggles last season weren't entirely down to Clement, but things didn't, you know, massively improve sort of in the long term when he came in. And obviously this season, as mentioned at the top of the show, we're just a place above the relegation zone and only out of it on goal difference at the moment. 4 league victories all season and no wins from the past 4 games. And, you know, not just the results, but performance-wise, you know, not necessarily in the last couple of weeks, as we mentioned, you know, picked up a little bit, but generally, you know, it wasn't particularly enjoyable football to watch. And it's just quite a torrid sort of tenure in general. And how much of that is, you know, sort of Clement to blame for that? Obviously, you know, he can only sort of do what, given, you know, the tools at hand. And, you know, this is a fairly similar squad to what Stam was working, you know, certainly last season. He inherited Yap Stam's squad. But, you know, do the players have to take some responsibility now? Because a lot of these players now, You know, this is 2 managers now that they've let down, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. That's obviously the big thing that usually comes out after a manager goes. Obviously, that you can't get rid of all the players, so the manager's the one who pays the price. I think a big part of it came in the summer. I think it turned into a bit of a disastrous window. They were left with a massively inflated squad, didn't spend anywhere near the sort of money that I think Clement was maybe not promised, but suggested maybe that he would have in the summer to spend. And obviously, they didn't really spend too much at all, brought him Baldock and Minolti, and they're the only people they spent money on. And then he's just still left with a lot of senior players who weren't getting into the first team squad, and I think that's caused more and more issues in recent weeks. It's led to the team being chopped and changed quite a lot. Injuries haven't helped, but I don't think that's really a big excuse. I think that's just been, he's still got plenty of good enough players who are doing a lot better than where they are on the table. So yeah, some of the players haven't performed well enough. I think that's fair to say. And like you say, it's been basically the whole calendar year, hasn't it? I think it's since about this time last year when it all sort of began to unravel massively under Stam, and then
was that Cardiff game really?
Yeah, it's just about a year ago now, wasn't it? At the start of December, I think, or end of November last year. So it's been a year of, like you say, there's pretty much the same players turning in substandard performances most weeks. So we'll have to see if a new manager can get anything more out of them, or if it's going to have to be a big player shift. I think in recent weeks, it's the fans have felt that they've started to warm a bit more to Clement in the way he's been doing things since, yeah. Particularly since Ron Gawley left. That seemed to be a bit of a boost to everybody with the club and the fan base as well, that maybe Clement could, under the right people above him, could be the coach to try and take these players forward. And that's why it's a little bit of a shock that it's come maybe now, when, as I say, the performances have turned a little bit in recent yeah. weeks. They've been playing difficult opponents and picking up a few points, so you thought maybe if they can get the new CEO in and have a decent window, then maybe he could be the man to try and turn things around. But yeah, ultimately the performances, like you say, it's been a wretched spell under him, really. The performances, the home performance at the start of the season was really poor, and that's basically what's driven the fans away. The attendances are still really low, which is a big problem. And yeah, the style of football hasn't been particularly great either. And I think Clement, when he came in at the start of last season, I think it was fair enough to just go sort of back to basics and just get the job done. And he has tried to change things a bit this season, but I think he's just not been able to implement his style as he wanted to. And it's been a case of, again, just doing what they can to get the results. And when those results haven't come, it's looked a bit dull. I mean, so the games at the Mansell have been quite entertaining, but that's mainly down to such poor defending, and that's been a massive problem for the whole time Clement's been here, especially this season. And he doesn't seem to be able to fix it. And the defenders they've got in there, we've said it on air plenty of times before, the defenders individually are good enough players at this level. It's not a case that they need to go and buy a whole new defence. They need to be coached better. And I think that's got to be one of the first jobs for whoever comes in now. And yeah, I think that's been the big, like you said, the biggest problem has been the performances. That's what's led them to not getting any points. And the performances were picking up, and they were starting to pick up a few points in recent weeks. But I think obviously the damage has already been done. And Nigel Howe probably has someone in mind that he wants to come in and try and change things, and I'm sure we'll see that in the coming days, the next week or so.
Simon did confuse me as well, slightly naughty, only 2 days before, and we're set to take on Sheffield United in the Championship. And as you mentioned, you know, we might not have picked up the results in recent games, but certainly it did seem, you know, to have turned the corner a little bit. Obviously, there was a lot more positivity around the place after Ron Gawley left, you know, the likes of Danny Loader and Andy Rinomota breaking into the first team. They sort of seemed to have given the fans a lift, really, and certainly, you know, the situation seems a lot better now, or it did seem a lot better now, you know, than it did a couple of months ago. And I think to the question there is, you know, why now as opposed to, you know, sort of October, November time. But we did, of course, get the news yesterday that Nigel Howe has been appointed as the club's new CEO, a role he obviously previously held for over two decades, I think between 1995 and 2017. But I think, you know, to me, Tom, this seemed like a bit too much of a coincidence, you know, that just a day after Howe is confirmed, Clement is relieved of his duties. And how much of an impact do you think that he had? You know, he probably wants to bring his own manager, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think, that, like you say, it seems a bit of a coincidence. It's yeah. the owners have been here. They've had Clement as their manager for such a long time, and suddenly a day after you get a new CEO, they make the change. I think it's obviously no coincidence as well. Gawley was the man who brought Clement in, and pretty soon after he's gone, Clement's gone as well. So it might be a case of thinking they just want to wipe the slate clean from the Gawley era, if you like, and try and start things brand new from that perspective. It's a shame, because obviously I look at it from a slightly different perspective, in that you spend a lot of time with Clement every week, and he's a nice guy to be around. He's very honest to talk to, and you hope that he'll be the one to turn it around. But yeah, I think as soon as you get the new CEO, I think we said on air maybe even last week that Paul Clement will probably be safer for now while they look for that CEO, because they don't be looking for two at the same time. But as soon as they've got the CEO in, they've made the change. So I'm sure there's been plenty of discussion between Nigel Howe and Miss Dye this week, and in the build up to him being given the CEO role, talking about the manager's position and all sorts of things. And they've obviously decided, I'm sure they would have given him that CEO role on the basis that Clement would then be going the next day. I'm sure that was all in hand in this week, and that's probably why it's happened. The timing is a bit strange, being sort of 2 days before a game. You'd hope it might be on obviously the Monday or the Tuesday after the game. Obviously everyone was pretty buoyant after that late equaliser on Saturday as well, but I imagine they were sort of finalising the contract with Howe and the deal to get him in as CEO, and just decided that they'll be okay for this weekend to get along with Scott Marshall in charge. And then I imagine it will be. I get the sense that they probably do have somebody lined up, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's somebody maybe announced even tomorrow and then or early next week. And be, if there wasn't anyone in charge by the Wolverham game next weekend, I'd be quite surprised. So, yeah, it's Nigel Howell. I've plenty of people he'll be thinking of calling on. And obviously, the first thing he's got to do in that case is it's get rid of Clement. I suppose if he has got somebody lined up, you don't want to keep Clement there, and then he beats Sheffield United, then it becomes pretty impossible to get rid of him on the back of a win against a team like that. So. I think that appointment of Nigel Howell had a massive impact on the timing of it. Say the players were and the management were all pretty shocked today when it happened. They'd been working as normal towards the Sheffield United game. They're meant to be doing video analysis today, and that never happened because it was all planned to happen. And then Clement came in this morning and effectively got told he had no job to take on. So I think they were quite surprised from that perspective, but from the people above, I think it's probably been in line. It's something they were planning to do this week, and it's just been a case of finalising Howell's position before they could move on to Clement. And now they move on to finding the next person to come in after Marshall's taken the game at the weekend.
It does sort of seem as though Howell's sort of, you know, wiping the slate completely clean, you know, sort of getting rid of the, you know, sort of the whole ethos around the Ron Gourlay era, and that includes, as you mentioned, Clement, who Gourlay himself brought in. We will move on then to who will be the next man in the hot seat. Speculation's already begun about who will replace Clement, and we'll get onto some specific names in a minute. But, you know, this is a vitally important appointment, isn't it, Tom? I mean, obviously, Clement obviously lasted only just 9 months, and we don't really want to get into a cycle of sort of sacking managers on a regular basis. You know, you want some sort of long-term plan in place, you know, but at the same time, you know, there's very much the short-term issue of fighting relegation.
There is, but I don't think it's quite like last year. It was very much you had to find a firefighter for those last few games just to keep them up. And they looked at Clement, they see he's done that before at Swansea, and he essentially had pretty much the same career here as he had at Swansea, to be honest, kept them up and not been able to do anything the following season and lost his job again. So I think they can look at it slightly differently. Obviously, it's a new CEO looking for starters, but I think they can look at different sort of people now. I don't think you have to look at someone who will just come in and keep them up. I think they can look at someone who can try and build something for the longer term, as I think they did with Clement. They gave him a pretty long contract. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a case of, like you say, you don't want to get into that cycle in the Championship. That does seem to be how it goes, though. So it wouldn't be massively surprising if we're sitting here in a year's time and the similar sort of things happen. But hopefully they can find somebody. Let's say that they're not in the relegation zone at the moment. That's the one saving grace. And if they can get a couple of wins, we've said it before, the table is so tight that things can look a lot different very quickly. So there's people, like you say, there's people that have been mentioned that I think the same sort of names do tend to come up when running job comes up. They probably came up when Yap left in March. So I imagine there'll be similar sort of names bouncing around, but there may be a bit more credence than this time in the fact that Howe's now in charge. And that line in the statement about looking for someone who would fit the Reading mould, I think it's the phrase they used in the statement today, said the owner. So I'm not convinced that necessarily means somebody who used to be at Reading. I think it might just mean somebody who will stick with the principles of the club, using the youth players and that sort of thing. So, who exactly it'll be, I don't know. I get the sense it might be a British manager. That's just a hunch, really, and it's no particular name in mind when I say that. But I think it's, like I say, they've said they want to swiftly identify who it's going to be. So I think they do have somebody in mind, and it wouldn't surprise me if they announce it in the next day or two, really.
That would rule out Slavisa Jokanović. If it was to be a British manager, I think he's definitely my probably first choice to be the next boss, and I think probably the first choice of many Reading fans as well. You know, the only thing about him for me is that is the question mark over whether he would actually come to Reading. I think he is second favourite with the bookmakers at the moment to take the job. But you know, look, he obviously did a fantastic job with Fulham last season, got them playing some, you know, really, you know, attractive football to watch, really entertaining stuff. Did the same at Watford as well. A couple of years ago, so he has got two promotions from the Championship to his name, but obviously he's a manager who's managed all over Europe as well, so certainly interest in him, you know, won't just come from this country, it'll come from all over Europe. And whether he would choose Reading over a number of potentially more attractive positions, I find it quite doubtful that he would choose to come to us having just left the Premier League team. But under-23's manager Scott Marshall will take charge on a temporary basis for the game against Sheffield United, as mentioned. And as for the permanent manager, according to the bookmakers, Steve Bruce is the favourite for the role. So, you know, a very experienced guy, 20 years or so as a manager behind him. He's won promotion from the Championship on three previous occasions, twice with Birmingham City and once with Hull. He was obviously sacked by Aston Villa back in October, and I know a fair few Villa fans were pleased to see him go, and they've certainly picked up under Dean Smith his replacement. And his football wasn't particularly entertaining to watch, as I hear, which is slightly why I'm torn on Steve Bruce. Do you think he'd be a good appointment for Reading?
He's probably the sort of character that the squad needs, the club needs. I'm pretty much with you in that Mihanovic would be my first choice, from certainly from a team point of view, maybe not necessarily the media side. He could probably get people in who'd give us a more entertaining job. But yeah, he's someone that when you look at his football, it was so good with Fulham, and he brought them up from near the bottom of the Championship. So I would like to see Mihanovic in, but like you, I'm not too sure he would fancy the drop down, having just been in the Premier League. But Steve Bruce is one who I'm sure he's going to want to get back in pretty quickly, prove a bit of a point, got to the playoff final last year, so yeah. It wasn't like it was a total disaster under him. I think he would be a fairly good fit. There's him and probably a couple more similar sort of names who are in the frame as well. I think that big character could be have a massive impact on some of these players in this squad. And like I said, they've got the quality to be competing in the Championship. I think they just need somebody who'll give them the bit of a kick that they need to get going. Bruce is the sort of person who probably would do that. So yeah, I wouldn't be against that at all. I think that's the sort of person that the club probably are looking towards if they can attract him down to Reading. And Reading are essentially a side who have been battling against relegation for well over a year now. So you might have to maybe temper expectations a little bit of who we can get hold of in that respect. But yeah, I think Bruce is someone who probably will have to take another Championship job before he gets anything any higher, and Reading could be a good opportunity for him. It's no real surprise, I think, that he's the favourite. I think as soon as he left Villa, some fans wanted him to come in pretty quickly here. So I'm sure he'd be welcomed pretty well by the fan base. And he's sort of, like I say, the sort of name and sort of character I think the club could do with.
I think that is a good point, actually, you made there, that this managerial search is perhaps a little different to maybe not necessarily the one back in March, but past sort of searches for any managers where we do have to sort of temper our expectations slightly now, because we aren't a club fighting towards the top of the Championship. We're only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. So you might be looking at a lower calibre manager perhaps than we might have been more used to. But a couple of other names mentioned include former players Phil Parkinson and Graham Murty, obviously both club legends. Who have over 700 appearances for Reading between them. Parkinson, of course, is currently in charge of Bolton, Bolton Wanderers, who sit two places below Reading in the Championship, but both on the same points, I think 18 points, both teams want at the moment, whilst Graham Murty is currently the manager of Rangers' under-20 team, after also taking charge of their first team for a short period last season. And as you mentioned, Tom, in that club statement on Clement Sakin, Nigel Howe it was declared that Nigel Howe wanted to find a manager who fitted that Reading mould, which I think is quite a lot of fans have sort of picked up on. And Parkinson and Murty, would definitely do that. Obviously, they've got a long history with the club. That connection is already there with fans. I think that's definitely something we need. So John Malewski mentioned on BBC Radio Berkshire earlier this week that sort of Ron Gourlay didn't understand the ethos of Reading Football Club, didn't understand the values, and that's why Nigel Howe's sort of been brought back in, and certainly Phil Parkinson and Graham Murty would both fit that mould as well. But on the flip side, are they effectively sort of putting their legendary status at risk, if they become Reading manager, if they take charge and God forbid they take us down, does that sort of tarnish their reputation slightly?
I think those two in particular might be okay to get away where that's happened, but yes, it's an interesting one. Obviously, Parkinson's got a job in the Championship at Bolton, so it's maybe a little bit different for him than Murty. Murty is quite an interesting case. Obviously, he did fairly well at Rangers, I think, and he'd be a name that wouldn't be hugely surprised if he was to come in. I think, obviously, if you get offered a managerial job as opposed to an under-20 job, you're probably going to take it, aren't you? So, whether they could get Parkinson, Parkinson's obviously struggled a little bit with Bolton. There's also all sorts of problems going on there, I think, but whether he would step away from there in a position they're in at the moment to come to Reading is maybe questionable. Whether the club want to try and get somebody who's out of work again, it's sort of maybe come down to a financial thing again with Parkinson being in a job. But I think, like I said earlier, I think the Reading mould thing, I don't necessarily think it has to be someone who has played for Reading. I think it has to be somebody who fits in with what they're trying to do and why they brought Nigel Howe back in. I think that's pretty similar line to what was in the statement when they brought him back in as CEO. They want somebody who knows what Reading is all about. And I think there's plenty of younger managers out there who maybe they could bring in and that would still fit. Like I said, the academy, I think, is a big part of it, and somebody would be willing to delve into that a little bit. I think that's probably one of the main things with that particular statement. But I think Murty is quite an interesting one. Like I said, he's sort of second or third on the betting, which is no big surprise. And I think he's certainly a name to watch out for. And then obviously you've got a lot of other sort of the lower league managers, which is Gareth Ainsworth, Nathan Jones have been mentioned as well. And that'll be something which I'm sure they're looking at. Obviously, maybe a cheaper option, but you always have to think about what happened with Ipswich. They got Paul Hurst from the lower league and didn't work out at all. And I wonder if that will be something that will maybe put them off going for that sort of route and try and, I think they probably do need a more experienced manager at the moment, just to pull them away from the relegation zone a little bit and try and get a bit more stability in the club. And I think that's probably the route they're going to try and go down if they can attract the manager that sort of manager maybe, really.
I think that would be my concern if we were to go down sort of the route of appointing a lower league manager, and think especially that Paul Hurst example, which is a very good one of how it might not work out. But then, you know, look at the same time, you know, if Championship clubs don't give these lower league managers opportunities, then how are they going to progress in their careers? But, you know, looking briefly down this odds list, then it's according to Sky Bet, Steve Bruce is the favourite 7-4. And then it's, you know, so he's quite a convincing favourite at 7-4. Graham Murty, then 6-1. Jokanović 7-1. Gareth Ainsworth, as you mentioned, is 8-1. Carlos Carvajal, of course, former Swansea manager, who was linked, I think, by the Daily Mail a couple of weeks ago when Clement was still in the job. He's at 10-1, as is Parkinson, as is Scott Marshall, the under-23s manager who's taking interim charge. Alan Pardew, former Reading manager, of course, not very popular at all with Reading fans. I'm not quite sure how well that appointment would go down. He's at 12-1, as is Francesco Guidolin, who's another name linked by the media in the last couple of months. Brian McDermott to come back for a third spell is 20-1. Again, I'm not too sure how that one would go down. And Steve Coppell is 16-1. If you're a fan of Nigel Howe trying to get the band back together and trying to recreate the 106 season. But we'll end then back with Paul Clement and what this means for him now. You know, because to be honest, you know, where does he go from here, really? Because, you know, does another Championship club take him on? Does he go back to being an assistant manager? Carlo Ancelotti, I'm sure, will welcome him back with open arms at Napoli. But you know, his time at Reading obviously didn't go to plan. You know, what can he learn from this spell in charge?
Pretty similar to the Swansea one, like I say, really. He's come in and done the job and kept them up and not been able to sustain it for any long period of time. And it's very difficult to see him getting another managerial job at this level now. I think it's much more likely he'll probably go back into being an assistant, which I'm sure he'll get plenty of offers to do that, plenty of lucrative ones as well. But he's given it a real good crack. It's like, it is a shame whenever that happens to these managers. They obviously lose the job and you wonder exactly what they're going to do now. It's obviously just looking down this list as well. Mark Hughes is a similar situation for him. He's probably not going to get a Premier League job now and just lost his job. So it's the sort of thing that happens to a lot of managers. If you're a Championship club, would you take someone who's been sacked from two other Championship clubs already? Some of the managers do tend to bounce around a little bit and still keep getting jobs. And he's in his 40s, so it's not sort of like it's completely over for him. But I'm sure it might be a case of taking on some more coaching work, assistant manager work before going back into it. But it seems unlikely sitting there right now for a club to give Paul Clement a job anytime soon as the manager. But obviously for football, you never know what might happen. But yes, it's a shame. I think I can't really see him back in the hot seat anywhere anytime soon, and I think maybe a spell as assistant. I'm sure, like I say, Ancelotti, you've got a very good relationship with him and could end up back over there in the not too distant future. But I think it'll probably take a little bit of time to try and reflect on exactly what went wrong, what he could have maybe done better. And obviously we will never truly know what sort of the ongoings behind the scene of Ron Gawley and the owners and his complete relationship with those guys. But So it did come as a little bit surprising that he was talking so well about how he was getting on with the new sporting director and Gianluca Nanni and how they were planning for January and all that sort of thing. So what happens with Nanni as well now could be another bit of a subplot. But it's going to be a difficult sell for Clement now, I think, to get another first team job in the Championship or Premier League. If he wants to move down to League One, then I'm sure there'll be people that would go from there. But it's whether he would, having worked at Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, those sort of clubs, whether he'd want to go down and start all over again at a League One, League Two club. It seems unlikely sitting here, but Obviously, only he really knows the answer to that, but I think it's more likely he'd go back in as an assistant now, I think.
Well, you have quite a nice Christmas payoff, I'd imagine. There's about 3.5 years he signed. So imagine that he would have got quite a bit of cash from the sacking. But on the whole, Tom, how do you look back on Clement's time in charge? And obviously, as fans, we all have our own view, but the press do have a different take on it. I remember you spoke quite well about when Yap Stam left, but obviously you dealt with Clement both pre and press match interviews and conferences and so on. What was he like in that respect?
When he first came in, a little bit different. I think he was pretty much get the job done and then we'll unwind a little bit in the summer. And obviously when it's more his team, I think at that point he just came in to get the job done, wasn't entirely interested in the other side of it, which I think is fair enough. As soon as they were pretty much safe, it was a bit of a different man to deal with. And like I say, I enjoyed dealing with him, open and honest, which I think the fans enjoyed that in the post match after. It was a sort of a complete contrast to Yap, really, and how he came across and said things, which was really refreshing to hear. I think obviously eventually that wears a little bit thin when it's just more of the same mistakes. You have to then question what he's doing wrong rather than him just coming out and slamming the players all the time. But he was good to deal with. Seemed like a genuinely nice guy. But ultimately, the results are what dictated these sort of jobs in football. Which, like we've mentioned, I think was it 4 wins this season in the league. Simply not good enough. I was hoping he might be given a little bit more time to turn it around, but I think it was very much a case of he kept fighting against his job rather than ever being able to build any momentum. And if you haven't built any momentum, ever won back-to-back games when you've been there for 9 months, you have to wonder whether that's ever going to come. And yeah, it is sad to see him go, but I think it's for the good of the club in the long term. It probably is the right move, depending on obviously who they bring in, but. Yeah, he's no real bad words to say about him on that front. I think he dealt with what he was given, like you mentioned earlier, dealt with it as best as he could at times. It was maybe a difficult squad to deal with in terms of how many players he had to try and juggle. That can't be an easy job, I don't think. I think he did well to bring back Nigel Gibbs and people who, Jilksy and people who knew the club. I think he did quite well on that front to try and re-engage the fans a little bit who had gone away towards the end of Yap's reign. I think he revitalised everyone a little bit towards the end of last season, but the attendance has just dipped as the results kept going against him, and probably need a little bit more luck in some of those games. But eventually, when you go through, he had a decent amount of time to try and turn things around and just couldn't ever quite manage to do it, and he always felt like he was fighting a bit of a losing battle. So it's no huge surprise when you sit back and think about it a little bit, it is a shame to see him go, and we'll hopefully he can go on and get another decent job somewhere. It's sort of on to the next one now, as happens in football, and this time next week we'll be talking about somebody new. But who that'll be, we'll have to wait and see, but I'm sure it'll be somebody that I think Nigel Howe will be pretty keen to get somebody the fans are going to be on board with straight away. I think that's going to be a pretty big part of the search, and I think he's probably going to be leading that as much as the owners are. He knows the sort of people that the fans are going to like, and I think that's in terms of his appointment as CEO, I think that's been a pretty good, smart move from the owners this week. It's great to see them as well more involved, speaking to the fans, even just little statements from the website this week. It's just that those sort of things, I think the owners are realising now they need to do to get back on side of the fans. And I think given it in a month or two's time, when we sit back and think about it, and we've got Nigel Howe as CEO and a manager who hopefully the fans get on board with, and owners who are a bit more present at the games, I think it will look back at it as a pretty pivotal week for the club, hopefully. And for all the right reasons, hopefully they're moving up the table and things are looking a bit better again, and got more players coming through from the academy, and just pushing in the right direction. Because, like I say, the last year, I think it's been no real fun to report on, and I imagine even less fun to pay money to go and watch. So hopefully I'll start to change in these next few weeks with a new man at the helm, and hopefully exciting times ahead.
It all sounds so easy, doesn't it? I mean, I think certainly from my perspective, I think you can't really criticise Clement as a man or as a person. I think I agree. I was a big fan of his interviews, sort of being very open and honest. And certainly if a new manager comes in and does that, then they'll get a thumbs up from me straight away. Wrapping up then, we were meant to be recording a weekend preview podcast for that Sheffield United game this weekend, obviously. This tiny bit of news has got in the way slightly, but I did talk to a Sheffield United fan earlier in the week for the View from the Townend section of that weekend preview show. So I think we are going to be still putting that out as a standalone piece of audio probably around Friday lunchtime. So there is a little bit of content focusing on the weekend's game. There is no main podcast next week because Mark is busy studying, but the weekend preview with myself and Todd will be back this time next week to look ahead to Reading's trip to Rotherham and potentially under, of course, that new manager. Until then, all that's left for me to say is to thank Tom for joining me once again on today's show.
Not a problem. Thanks, Ollie.
Otherwise, I mean, I've been a busy day, I think, for both of us reacting to this news. But thank you at home for listening as well. For the second time this year, Reading Football Club may be entering a new dawn. Let's just hope we can get it right this time. Come on, you Ars.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.